So Hare Krishna, tomorrow I'm as punctual as the sun. Not the sun in winter, the sun is a little late also. I would like to sing with you, or learn with you really, this beautiful song, Gauranga Karuna Karo. Oh my dear Lord Gauranga, please show your mercy to the lowly and destitute soul. O Lord, there is no more one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. Gauranga Karuna Karo, Gauranga Karuna Karo, Dinahina Jane, Gauranga Nakara Dinahina Jane Mosama Patita Pabu Nahi Hitrubane Mosama Patita Om Samapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane Om Samapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Holding grass between my teeth, O Lord Gaura, I'm calling out to you now. Please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. Dante Trinadhari Gaura Daki he tomara Rande Jaya kripa kari esho ama Hridaya mandire Haibo Jai ni dai ni dai If you do not give me your mercy, seeing how fallen I am, then how can you be known as Patita Pavana, the merciful savior of the fallen? And jadi daya na karibe patita dekhiya yadi daya na karibe patita bam Daya patita pavana nama Kishera lagiya I am plunged amidst the violent hurricane-stricken waves. in the oceans of this material world. From this, there's no escape. Kindly give me the gift of your divine lotus feet, which are compared to a boat in which your servant may cross over the ocean of birth and death. Podeci bava tufane jaya nahika nishtara. Sri Charana Tarani Dane Dase Koropara. Sri Charana Tarani Dane Narottam Das, the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, ceaselessly makes this prayer. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasiranu Dasa. Jaya prathana karaye sada Narottama dasa. Prathana karaye sada. Jaya Gauranga Karuna Kara Dina Hina Jane. Jaya Mosamapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Jaya Mosamapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Jaya in Indian language you say it takes a village to bring up a child. Hare Krishna, welcome. So we will continue a little into the ecstasy of Prabodhanandan Saraswati's heart. Prabodhanandan Saraswati at one stage became a resident of Kamyavan. That's one of the 12 forests in the Braj area. And it is possible that during this time he wrote this work. He sat next to a lake which is now dry, but in old times it was filled with lotus flowers. And he remembered the times when he had contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time there were already some poems out and some songs about Gauranga, but the main books which we all know were not yet written, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. What Prabodhananda Saraswati wrote about was not knowledge he had gained from the books which were yet to be written, but he wrote about what he had seen in his heart. It is my little desire, as I'm giving this seminar, that you also will take these images into your heart. I think yesterday, with the help of our technical support team, we had a wonderful illustration of the golden light which emanated from Gauranga, which had the color of golden, of molten gold. I'm sorry. You remember Prabodhananda Saraswati saw that in his heart, a splendor which came from Gauranga Mahaprabhu as he was dancing in the banks of the ocean when the full moon rose. And he also described the splendor of that little Nimai, the little boy who brought everyone in Navadvip to chant the holy names because of his splendor, something which came from his body. Today, we will hear how Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur meditates about three powerful gifts which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to the world, and I request all of us to enter this discussion of the gifts of Mahaprabhu. Here is the verse. It's a long verse. Premana madbhuta ta shavana patagata kasya nam namahimna. Premana madbhuta ta shavana patagata kasya nam namahimna. Koveta kasya brindavana vipina maha madhuri shupravesha. Goveta kasya. Kova janati radham paramarasa chamatkara maduya simang. Kova janati radham paramarasa chamatkara maduya simang. Ekaschetanya chandra paramakanuraya sarvam avishchakara. Ekaschetanya chandra paramakanunaya sarvam avishcharam. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have mercifully revealed the wonderful words, pure love of Krishna, who would have heard about pure love of Godhead? If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have revealed the power of the holy name, who would have known about the glories of chanting Hare Krishna? If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come and revealed the great sweetness of the forest of Vrindavan, who would have known about these things? Who would have understood Sri Radha, who's filled with the most wonderful sweetness of the nectar of pure love for Krishna? It is only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that these things were revealed. In this verse, Prabodhananda Saraswati uses the word, the name Chaitanya Chandra, Chandra means a moon. He speaks of the moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? A moon gives light in the darkness. The dark night of Kali Yuga has practically covered a lot of spiritual knowledge and also the spiritual abilities of man, like intuition. Intuition used to be such a wonderful working thing which especially spiritual people had. They didn't need to know so much because they were connected with the Paramatma in the heart. The spiritual intuition. Everything is covered with that blanket of darkness. But the inconceivably merciful Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared like the moon in the dark night, the full moon. And he has mercifully revealed with the rays of his mercy four very powerful things: prema, love for Krishna; nama, the power of the holy name; Brindavan Dham; and Shrimati Radhika. Anandi is the commentator to Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, before Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time, the word love of Godhead or prema was practically unheard of. One didn't know simply that it's possible to love God madly. It was a new thing. About the holy name, people did not chant before Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time. Only after Mahaprabhu's time, a wave of chanting splashed through the Indian continent and so on. The divine power which Gauranga Mahaprabhu talked, which was in the holy name, was that it has the ability to melt the heart. And once the heart is melted by the chanting of the holy name, the possessor of the name, that is Krishna, appears as a visible transcendental entity. That's the power of the holy name. The power of the holy name can attract a difficult personality from far above, from far. I know one of my friends, his name is Chitrakara, a god brother, traveled through South India, and he told me once a story of a man he had personally witnessed who chanted a mantra in the evening, in the night actually, and this mantra was so powerful that it pulled a huge crocodile, which was from here, you know, where this amazingly decorative bag is standing, to the door of the deity forum. No, it was actually, I remember, it was from here where I'm sitting to the door. It was such a monster crocodile, a big, who came by the power of the mantra. It is very difficult to bring such a crocodile out of the river, and it is maybe not important and necessary in life. He did it for some particular household reasons. It's an illustration how a mantra can bring a faraway object, which is very difficult to bring under one's control, how it can bring that to a place. Huh? So Lord Chaitanya really revealed that by the chanting of the holy name, in a way that the heart melts, the Lord can become pulled and brought to the world. This is how the Lord, this is one gift, the second gift. The third gift, do you remember, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, the difficult to penetrate forests of Vrindavan. It's difficult in Vrindavan to really, penetrate is maybe not the right word, to move into the forest of Vrindavan, because it would mean you understand the sweetness of the mellows or relationships which Krishna has. I think in the morning lectures we hear a little bit how the cows, the cowherd boys, react towards Krishna and how he feels towards them. We hear a little bit, this is called Rasa Katha, talk about relationships and the taste which they bring. So without that, Lord Chaitanya, we would never have heard about the milk who would be full of consciousness and who would think, oh, I would like to serve Krishna by feeding him. And if I don't get the opportunity, I feel my life is in vain and ruined. You know, who would have heard about the milk, you know, in Germany, and the thoughts of the milk? It is a difficult secret, and so on. And the final gift of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, do you remember? Yes, Srimati Radharani, the divine embodiment of the mellows of Mahabhava. You know, before Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radhika was simply not on the list of worshipable personalities which people thought should be worshipped. You would never say Jai Radhe before Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time, because she was simply not understood as the supreme deity of the forest of Vrindavan. So this song of verse, I should say, of Prabodhananda Saraswati has given inspirations to many powerful bhajans. And one is Yadi Gauranga Nahito Tabe Ki Hoito Kemo No Dorito De. Had Lord Gauranga not appeared, what would have happened to us? You know, think about it. What would you do without the holy name? And without knowing about the things which you know now? You would simply go about in either normal ways, you know, normal for the world, or you would follow some esoteric program for self-improvement. But you would not have, had in your mind, I must go to Vrindavan, I'm a Radharani Ki Jai. You wouldn't have these things. How could we tolerate our lives without Gauranga? Tell me, who in this world would have come to know about the glories of Sri Radha and her topmost love for Krishna? Had Lord Gauranga not appeared, this is Narahari Das, who would have known the tricks of entering the sweet pastimes of love that exist in the Vrindavan forest? Who would have known about, in other words, Braj Bhava, Braj love? Who would have had the power to experience the devotional mood of the Braj Gopis? My dear devotees, make your heart simple, not complicated, and sing Lord Gauranga's divine qualities again and again. In this ocean of material existence, no one has ever seen such a compassionate person. And then Narahari says, oh, even though I chant Lord Gaura's name, my heart has not yet melted. How can I continue to keep this up? How is it that Narahari has received a body with a stone in the place of a heart? Huh? Sometimes asking myself, what special anatomy is in my life? I have a stone where normal persons have a heart. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special gift. I would like to give you a little timetable now about Mahaprabhu's appearance, and then we will go about his special trick, if you so want. This is how the poet here writes, the trick of how to develop love. First, let us hear the timetable. Mahaprabhu's first 24 years were spent in Navadvip. Fine. Afterwards, he took sannyas and he wandered for 6 years all over the south of India, Bengal, and Vrindavan. So 24 years plus 6 years of pilgrimage and preaching makes 32 years. The remaining... 30 years, you know everything. The remaining 18 years, Mahaprabhu stayed 48 years with us, were spent without any interruption in Nilachal. He didn't leave Nilachal, did you know this, in Puri? For 18 years he stayed. Of his before that, 6 years traveling. Of these 18 years, the first portion of 6 years were spent extensively with devotees. They had daily kirtans in Puri, Ratha Yatra. They cleansed the Gundicha temple, and they were often found bathing in the different lakes of Puri. You would see Mahaprabhu splashing water with his devotees. The next 12 years, Mahaprabhu withdrew completely from the devotees, from the external people. No one would see him any longer. He would stay in a little room called Gambira. And there, he taught the world a lesson in crying for Krishna. He would lament for Krishna. He would say, "Where are you, Krishna?" Just look at the timetable. 12 years of crying for Krishna. No public exposure. Maybe, you know, maybe sometimes Mahaprabhu would come out of the Gambira and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. He would just go to the temple, see Lord Jagannath, and have his ecstatic revelations. Mahaprabhu would go to the back of the temple. He would go to a stamba, means a pillar like this, a little bit more tall and a little bit more, can we say, fat, the pillar, you know, a little bit. And he would stand there and he would look at Jagannath. And while he looked at Jagannath, he saw Krishna there standing with his flute and calling for him. And he would be burning so much with separation from him that this pillar, which you can still see this, is imprinted with three fingerprints, because Mahaprabhu's mood of separation made metta melt. His footprints are also there, where he stood. And 12 long years, just imagine, 12 years, until finally Mahaprabhu just entered the body of Jagannath and disappeared. No one could find, after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, anything which reminded them of Mahaprabhu. He didn't leave a body, in other words. He only left one chada, which he was dressed in. This is something which I would like you to understand today. 12 years of what is technically called viraha, mood of separation. He felt exactly like Srimati Radharani when Uddhava met her. I think you all know that Krishna received, after he had left Vrindavan, he received regular messages about how the devotees in Vrindavan felt. Messages which just broke his heart. He heard, for instance, that Mother Yashoda had never ever entered the kitchen again to cook anything. He heard that Mother Yashoda was found, by a kennel of water which was made by her tears. She cried so much for him, his own mother. Krishna heard how the cows never ever again ate anything after Krishna had left. They just kept the last grass bushes which Krishna had taken to feed them in their mouth, and they just didn't take anything new because they were so much connected with Krishna and love that without Krishna life just was not there for them. So finally Krishna had said, I can't go there, because if I go, Vrindavan will be attacked by all these enemies of Dharma, and the beautiful flower gardens will become a battlefield. I just can't go there. But I will send my trusted messenger Uddhava with messages of solace there. So Uddhava delivered messages to all the Brijbasis, and then he went to Radha. And Radha at that time was so much in separation that she was lying on a bed of flowers, and when Uddhava came, she talked to a bumblebee. Because the bumblebee was reminding her so much of Krishna. The bumblebee is also black, right? And what else has the bumblebee which reminded her of Krishna? Yellow. It looked like his yellow dhoti. So therefore, she talked to the bumblebee. And we hear actually that Krishna had come in the form of that bumblebee. There's something wonderful in Vrindavan which I wanted to tell you about since a long time. There are Vaishnava friends, some Goswamis, who have made an interesting video. The video is about a reading of a text where Krishna's messenger Uddhava meets Radharani, and all of a sudden you can see, you can hear on the video, and then you see from the eastern direction, I think it's the eastern direction, it's the direction where Mathura is, a bumblebee entering into the camera and sitting at the podest and listening for the whole katha, intently to the katha. And it's such a bumblebee. It looks like a sparrow, wie ein Spatz. It's really a big bumblebee, and it stays there. So on that day they couldn't complete the reading of the Brahmara Gita. It's called the section of the Bhagavatam. But the next evening they continued where they left off. And again you hear bzzz at the beginning of the katha. And that same bumblebee, the best of the bumblebee, enters and sits down on a specially prepared throne. And everyone goes with the chamara, and the Goswami makes an aratik, because they all feel Krishna has come again, like in that holy text of the Bhagavatam, to listen to the talks of Radharani. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I read about it in a magazine on mysticism, and then I was intrigued, and I ordered the book and read the whole account in the book. It's very interesting how Krishna appeared at that time as a bumblebee, and he has reappeared in modern times as the Krishna bumblebee. So, anyways, that type of talk which Radha at that time did with Uddhava, Gauranga Mahaprabhu did, and anything which reminded Gauranga Mahaprabhu of Krishna became an udipan, an ecstatic stimulant for his love for Krishna. Just like when Radharani saw the bumblebee, she went totally deep in her absorption in Krishna. She became mad with love and mad with separation. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the ocean, he jumped into it thinking that finally I have reached Yamuna, the river. The sand dunes of Puri were seen by him as Govardhan, and any garden which Mahaprabhu saw was seen as Vrindavan. When there was a dark cloud, Mahaprabhu saw it. He ran towards the dark cloud, trying to embrace the dark cloud, because he thought the dark cloud is good. He broke through walls and doors, and in this way did a lot of a lot of things to move the mind of his devotees. You know, they were worried, constantly worried. Where is Gauranga Mahaprabhu now? He wouldn't be there in the Gambira. The doors were still locked, and they would try to find him, but they couldn't find him. And they knew Mahaprabhu had, in his pangs of separation, gone somewhere. Then they looked with lamps everywhere, and they saw him somewhere in the mood of ecstasy. He looked like a pumpkin, really. All his limbs had gone into his body, and he was in the pumpkin mood. So a very important feature during this time was that he took sannyas, that he lived as a perfect sannyas. Shankaracharya, the boy saint, the boy sannyas, says sannyasi is always happy. His only possession is the begging bowl. Sannyasis in the old times lived differently like in modern times. The degree of renunciation and detachment from the world, just we can't even understand it. They would outwardly they would just have nothing. They would sleep on the earth. It was really Maya to sleep in a bed or sleeping bag. My God, that is totally unthinkable of. So they must be physically quite fit, I think, to not die. But they would live in a very renounced way. There is a poem which I want to read to you of a sannyasi. It's a song of a sannyasi. In vain was all our greedy devouring of things for the sake of worldly pleasure. In the end, we who wanted to satisfy our desires were swallowed by our desires. Oh, I have given up all penances and austerities performed to burn up greed and envy. In the end, we were always burned in the fire of lust. Eternal, all-pervasive time does not trickle away, but our meager lifespans trickle away, and death is sure. Instead of our desires becoming less over the course of time, they gain strength while we become weak in the painful fight against aging. You know, it's a total poesy which is, let me say it in German, weltabgekehrt. The world, the sannyasi has turned his back towards the world and all worldly pursuits. Mahaprabhu lived the life of an ideal sannyasi. In the Gambira, he would sleep on a dry bark of the banana trees, and this would sometimes cut into his soft body. Dry bark, trockene Rinde, of the banana tree. Do you know the banana tree bark? It is a little round like this. Have you seen it? And it's very strong when you lie on it. Oh, it's really... Due to separation, his body was so thin that the devotees were worried for him. And you know, when you are very thin, then every little thing is so painful for your body. And so Jagadananda had a fantastic idea. He found a nice cloth, colored it, and then put the cotton from the simuli tree inside. Then he sewed it together and it became something like a mattress. Now, he knew he himself couldn't give this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It would be another negative reaction. You know, once he had gotten a whole clay pot of nice oil for Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu had said, "I can't take this oil. I will smell like a perfume tree. Let's use the oil and burn it in the lamps for Jagannath." And when Jagadananda Pandit had heard it, do you remember his reaction? He had taken the whole clay pot and put it in protest. He threw it on the stairs. So Jagadananda was careful with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So he said, "Swarup Damodar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is very respectful of what you say. Can you give him this little mattress? I mean, the other thing will just cut his flesh into pieces." When the time comes where Gauranga takes his rest, can you just put it in the Gambira and then he has to sleep on it? Maybe he won't even notice that there's something new. So when Gauranga Mahaprabhu saw it, "What is this? This must be Jagadananda's work. He wants me to enjoy material happiness. Why don't you bring me a bed and everything? I'm a sannyasi. I should lie down on the floor. To even accept a pillow is a shame for me. What will people say?" When Jagadananda heard this, he became very unhappy. So Swarup Damodar thought, but you know, we can't tolerate how the Lord hurts himself with this dry bark. So he went to a banana, he took dry banana leaves and took, I really don't know the English, maybe you can help me, the fasan? Fibers. Oh, you know good English, the fibers, and he presented something like a mud matterets. But I want to say Mahaprabhu's standard of renunciation was extraordinary. Once, I must tell you, there was a beautiful young Devadasi, maybe like, I mean, a young girl, above 14 years, who sang Jayadev's Gita Govinda before Lord Jagannath. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard the song of the Devadasi and he only concentrated on the wordings. It's a love song of Radha and Krishna. And when he heard this song, he ran to meet the singer. He was so ecstatic that he didn't even stop when there were thorny hedges, dornige Hecken, on the way. He just ran to it, and his cloth was ripping, And Govinda ran behind him, trying to catch up. Finally, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was only a short distance away from this beautiful girl whom he wanted to embrace. And Govinda, in the back, couldn't catch him. And he just said the word, "Woman! It's a woman singing!" So immediately Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness and said, "You have saved my life. If I would have touched the body of a woman, I would have died. There is danger at every step in this world. Please stay with me always." Govinda said, "Jagannath saved you. I'm insignificant." So Mahaprabhu wanted to make a very special point with his sannyas, which I believe we should take heed of. There are different forms of renunciation. One is called Falgu renunciation, that is, outwardly you make a show, but when the door of your room is closed, then you get the chocolate out. Hare Krishna, I'm known for my unpalatable jokes. Or there is Smasa Vairagya, it's dry renunciation. You can see these people who are like this, and who usually they feel so empty in their heart that they like to criticize others, like Ramachandra Puri. Remember, he was that dry renunciant who didn't have any rasa in his life, and he found pleasure even in criticizing all the Vaishnavas, and finally ended up criticizing Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Smasana. And then there is a Vairagya which Mahaprabhu taught for his followers. Do you know that type of Vairagya? Yukta Vairagya. What is this, Jai Gopal? Yukta Vairagya. Yes, you renounce the things which are for your own pleasure, and you just use whatever you find in Krishna's service. Prabhupada used to say, if we can use the atom bomb in Krishna's service, we would, but there's no use. he used tape recorders, cars, etc. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so strong on this point that use renounce things for your own pleasure, but use everything what can be used for Krishna's pleasure. That once, imagine like this, he went with a motor car into Radha Kund, not in the Kund itself, but in the village. Because, you know, there were all these Babaji's who have just a piece of cloth which is maybe twice as big, at most like this, you know, that's all, and one for changing. And he made the point that the type of Vairagya which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught is different from dry renunciation and from false renunciation. So, look at me. I have taken sannyas and eat nice prasadam. I'm following Mahaprabhu, who said to Raghunath, enjoy the world without becoming attached. But no, this is not the idea of Yukta Vairagya. The idea of Yukta Vairagya is to keep yourself fit for developing higher attachments. A nice song about the goal of Yukta Vairagya is Kabe Gauravane Suraduni Tate Hakradhe Ha Krishna Bole Kanya Bedabo Deho Sukha Chadi na na la ta ta ru ta le oh. Sorry, this is. When, oh, when will I wander here and there, weeping under the shade of the trees, along the banks of the Ganga River in Navadvip? When will I cry out, O Radhe?
O Radhe.
Fine. O Krishna!
O Krishna!
And when will I completely forget about the so-called pleasures of this material body? When will I be able to live so simple that I'm satisfied by begging some food from the homes of the untouchables who live here and there? I will simply drink the water of the Saraswati, and in ecstasy I will roll on the banks of the river, raising a loud uproar of, O Krishna, Krishna!
O Krishna, Krishna!
You're really into it. When will I bow down to all the inhabitants of the holy land of Navadvip and receive a bit of their causeless mercy? I will smear the dust of the holy Vaishnava's lotus feet all over my body, and I will wear the dress of a mad wandering mendicant. These are desires which Mahaprabhu stimulated in his followers. These are desires which will come up when you visit the holy land of Vrindavan, the holy land of the Ganga, that is Navadvip. As you stay on the banks of the holy rivers Yamuna and Ganga, you will see how these desires will flood the other desires in your heart, and you will come into a flood of Gauranga Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti. Especially sitting at the bank of the Yamuna is highly recommended for those who wish to develop their love for Krishna. These are gifts, this land of Vrindavan, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would love to encourage all of you, meditate about the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take full advantage of them. And final, in closing, I want to do two things with you. I want to just tell you about a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once Advaita Acharya had realized that Lord Gauranga is Krishna himself, and he came to the house of Shrivas Pandit to perform his worship of Vishvambar. And at that time, when he was finished with his worship, Gauranga put his elegant lotus feet on Advaita Acharya's head. Advaita Acharya had long hair, like Vaishnava and Kunya Bihari and Patrick. No? So Chaitanya put his elegant lotus feet on the head. That means he gave full blessings. And he talked about the mission, why he had come. He rolled his head like this. He was very joyful, very ecstatic. And he said, I have come because of you, Advaita. Do you know this? I will preach the chanting of the holy names from house to house so that the entire universe will dance as they sing my glories. I will distribute that devotional service for which personalities headed by Brahma, Shiva, and Narada undergo austerities. This I assure you. That's wonderful, isn't it? Mahaprabhu really came purposefully into this world to spread the holy name around and to give that type of love which Brahma and Shiva and Narada have not gotten. This is sure. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki So I would like to now show you a few very nice pictures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I hope that you feel some inspiration to connect your life more with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We have to close a little bit the windows for the light. I found out in my own personal Krishna conscious life that it was very important for me to realize Gauranga Mahaprabhu's greatness. In my own life, I have come to a place or position where it's absolutely clear to me that only if I receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can I make further advancement in Krishna consciousness. I've reached almost the I don't know how old I am. I'm very old. I think 82 or something like this. almost. And I have seen that I have tried so hard. I've done so many. You know, in the winter I used to go without shoes, barefoot. I was very much into austerity. And I could see that yes, this was a very good time, but now where I'm older, I feel the time has come where I have to roll before that door, which is never close to the conditioned soul, that door of the most merciful incarnation of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and ask for his blessings. Here are a few wonderful slides. It shows Ganga. This shows Jagannath Pandit going with little Nimai to bringing him to school. Here you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu running with his friends on the right side, and Jagannath Mishra talking to Sachi Mata. Our little Nimai is just too naughty. He always runs around and steals butter, just like Krishna. We better send him to school. But then Sachi said, no, better not. If he is in school and learns that the world is false and should be renounced, he will never marry. So let us keep him at home. He is too clever. So then here you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with his little friends to the holy name of Krishna. Isn't it sweet? The next photo, I can't really see so well. Can someone just move this seat a little? Just a little. Yeah. I'm on my cloud. Coming closer. Thank you. That is out of order, this picture. Different childhood pictures, but I want to show you. Here he is accepting Jagai and Madai. Do you see? And embracing them. Mm-hmm. Here Mahaprabhu is just before his sannyas. In the back is his sannyas guru, Keshava, and the barber is paying his obeisances. He doesn't feel like shaving the beautiful hair of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And after he did this, after he shaved Gauranga Mahaprabhu's hair, he never ever shaved up any head. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaving Vishnupriya early in the night and going to Krishna. Gauranga Mahaprabhu had asked Vishnupriya, "May I go? Can you give me your permission?" Vishnupriya was speechless. She just cried. How could she give the permission? Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu manifested a four-armed form and said, "Can I go now? I'm Narayan." And then Vishnupriya said yes. Yeah, here we are back on track. Here Sachi Devi gives Gauranga to Ganga Das, the teacher. Here you see the blissful marriage ceremony of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Here he meets Nityananda, the Avaduta. And this is a particular scene where Mahaprabhu already displayed high renunciation. This is his friend Raghunath on the left side, who had written a commentary on logic. Mahaprabhu said, "I've just also written my commentary and read it to Raghunath." And Raghunath felt depressed because his commentary or book looked so foolish in comparison to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But then Gauranga Mahaprabhu saw the sad face of his friend who had worked and given his best, and he said, "Well, let your work become famous." And he threw his work into the Ganga. See? This book has never been found. There is no copy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's work as a pandit on logic. It has been destroyed by Mother Ganga. Here you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a famous picture. He comes to stop Jagai and Madai, who have made his Nitai bleed. And on the behest, he has brought his chakra also. That's at the moment a little bit above the picture. But Nitai said, "No, don't hurt them." Here is a picture where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was first officially worshipped by his devotees and showed the different forms of God as they came out of his transcendental body. Here he sees for the first time his guru Ishwarapuri and worships his lotus feet. And Ishwarapuri gives him his book that's in his hand to edit. Mm-hmm. Here he meets the second time Ishwarapuri. Who remembers where this picture is taken from? Gaya. Who knows the footprint there? It's the footprint of Vishnu. Yeah? And this is after the initiation. Gauranga Mahaprabhu wants to go to Vrindavan. He wants to give up his previous life as a pandit and become a renunciant. Here is the initiation. Isn't this a beautiful picture? I like them so much. It's Ishwarapuri speaking the mantra which makes the soul run after Krishna into the ear of Gauranga. This is saying goodbye to his wife Vishnupriya and Sachi Mata. And this is Mother Sachi lamenting that her son has taken sannyas. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Mother, if I have taken sannyas prematurely, you tell me, you order me, and I come back home." And Mother Sachi, that's why she's known as the most virtuous lady, said, "No, the world would talk bad about you. You please come. You please go, but stay close. Be in Jagannath Puri where I can hear news of you regularly." These are all different pictures of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is the last picture for today. We will continue tomorrow, to just so that you have a little impression. That's how one devotee after the other came to him. This is the governor of South India, Ramananda Roy, who became a devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and later went to Jagannath Puri. There are many such illustrious devotees of Gauranga. Gauranga had very high-powered devotees, and Nitai accepted thieves and rogues. Therefore, I feel very close to Lord Nityananda.